Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The Super Bowl is the single biggest sports betting event each year. And with the Eagles making it to this year's big game in Arizona, plenty of people locally may be interested in putting their money where their mouth is. But even though Delaware had sports betting before most other states, placing sports wagers here isn't as easy as it is elsewhere, including neighboring Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maryland. This week, I caught up with ESPN writer David Purdom, who covers the gambling industry, to look at the state of sports betting in the first state and get some advice on putting bets on pro football's biggest game of the year. Delaware was notably the first state to allow sports betting after the Supreme Court's 2018 decision, legalizing it. Was allowed to actually even offer parlay betting before that due to an exception it had. But since then, it's done very little to really expand its operation while others around it, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, have started to pass them by, particularly in the area of sports, mobile sports betting. Is Delaware leaving a lot of revenue on the table here by not pushing the envelope at least a little bit further?
Yeah, it is. And you nailed it. Those surrounding states, the key word there is mobile. 90% or greater of bets and money wagered are placed online through mobile apps. And without that advantage, Delaware is falling behind. It's just too easy. It's almost easier to hop in your car and drive across the state line and place a bet on your phone than it is to drive down to one of the racetracks to do it in person. And that's the preferred method for the majority of American sports bettors.
And we're already seeing it in terms of the numbers that Delaware is doing, according to the Delaware Lottery, which runs sports betting and other gambling here in the state. Delaware saw a 7% drop in sports wagering recently. I guess, how are those three racetrack casinos and their sports books affected by this dynamic that's kind of risen up around them? I mean, it would seem that it is really a major blow to them.
Yeah, I mean, the idea was to increase traffic, right, to the horse tracks, to the racetracks. Come out here, place your bet, enjoy the races, get people out there, get people to buy concessions and so forth. The problem is that they are just such a larger audience of mobile sports bettors that are not really interested in going to the track at all. And again, it would be easier for them to drive across, hop on your phone, log on, and place a wager. And so the revenue gained by the foot traffic, and this is proven out in Las Vegas. A long time ago, they thought about the same thing. Oh, we don't want people betting on their phones. We want them to get in there into the casino and play the higher margin slots and so forth. But overwhelmingly, it has turned out to be not the case. It doesn't necessarily hurt your foot traffic that much if you are to legalize mobile betting, and it only increases revenue.
If Delaware had been more proactive at the beginning, or even more recently, could the early advantage it had, starting sooner than everybody else, minimize the impact of the arrival of sports betting in the surrounding states? Or is that always going to be kind of baked into an erosion of what Delaware could make?
I think it's going to be baked in. You are going to work in your population area. There always are going to be these other states that are going to take more of the revenue away with their mobile betting. You know, Delaware thought about it. We all thought they were going to do it in 2018 when the Supreme Court changed the rule. Delaware was first. We thought mobile betting was going to follow. My understanding was the lottery took a look at the costs associated with mobile betting. A lot of that comes from the geolocation required. You have to make sure people are betting or inside the state, and that's an expensive process. And the lottery just decided that they weren't comfortable with the costs associated. Now, fast forward, what, going on 6 years here, will be the decision anniversary in May, and they may have to relook and see what they need to do here.
It's always felt to me like some of the tension also, beside the cost that you mentioned, was the fact that Delaware has always based all of its gambling on this idea of tying it to the horse racing industry. Even in the past, there was studies done and committees formed to look at adding casinos elsewhere. And they said, you should add one by Wilmington and the PA line. You should add one by the beaches. Is that persistent tying it to the horse tracks really problematic?
Not necessarily tying it to the horse track. I mean, we talked about it. It's mobile. It's mobile. People don't want to get off their couch. They don't want to leave their phone or leave their sofa to go place a bet when you can do it so easily and so efficiently with the mobile app. It doesn't matter where you put the sports book at it, whether it's at a casino, a racetrack, or a beachfront, beachfront resort or wherever. Still, people who are going to want to place their bets on their phone, it's just that much easier.
One recent development is two of the state's casinos, Delaware Park and what was Dover Downs and is now Bally's Dover, have gone from local ownership to larger entities that have casino interests elsewhere. Is the sense that those new owners may be ones who want to lobby the state for mobile sports betting, expanded sports betting? Is that something we've seen elsewhere, that the corporate interests play a big role here?
Oh, absolutely. They're going to get their lobbying power behind it. And they know that, hey, if you don't have mobile sports betting, you are behind the eight ball and you are not going to be able to generate the handle. The handle is the amount wagered on there. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, generates the revenue from that. So until you get mobile sports betting, you're going to be behind the eight ball. And these companies that are coming in here, Bally's, as you mentioned, are going to be big proponents. And they'll put their power behind the lobbying efforts to get this done.
Is there still time for Delaware to recapture some of the market if they could wave a magic wand and start mobile betting tomorrow? Could they see a significant boost in the revenues the companies would see, and then obviously the state share that they would get from all that?
100%. Not only are the convenience of mobile betting, but the types of wagers that you can offer come with mobile betting. Live betting, where you can bet play by play instead of running up to the window and trying to get a bet in. You can do this instantaneously on your phone. And in-game wagering is becoming a bigger and bigger part of sports betting in America. So get the mobile sports betting. Not only will you increase the revenue and the convenience for your consumers, but you'll increase the betting options that they're available. And some of these ones, including these things called same game parlays, where you can place multiple bets on one game and you can do it live when the game is happening. Those have really high margins compared to going up to the window before a game, placing a single bet on a point spread. The margins on those compared to these other multiple leg parlay wagers, as Delaware is familiar with from its past, there's just no real comparison. We're talking extremely more lucrative offerings are available if you have mobile betting.
And that mobile betting, I'm assuming, captures the more casual better than having to go to the book.
Yeah, it captures them all, but it definitely with the recreational bettors as well.
So we are coming up on the Super Bowl, huge sports betting day. Let's talk a little bit more writ large about sports betting. How much has the expansion of legalized sports betting, and specifically the mobile option, changed the dynamic of Super Bowl betting, and how much money is likely to be bet on the Super Bowl?
You're going to see billions of dollars will be reported being bet on the Super Bowl. We got right near $1 billion last year, and now we have more states coming on board. So you'll get over $1 billion wagers. Some of the estimates, when you include Super Bowl pools and those squares, Super Bowl squares that people love to do and so forth, you'll see multi-billion dollars wagered when you include all that kind of stuff. But the legalization of sports betting has changed a lot. We have, for the first time this year, there will be a sports book, a retail sports book on the premises over there at State Farm Stadium in Arizona, where the Super Bowl is held. It's a BetMGM sports book. So that'll be the first time we have that. That was almost, unfathomable a few years ago when we first had legalization. The NFL was still a little bit cautious and hesitant. Not anymore. All those sports leagues are on board. You're seeing more and more stadiums put sports books in. So it's really changed. And of course, all the commercials that everybody sees, and you will start to see more and more as we get closer to the Super Bowl for this big, trying to grab market share. We're still in the early years of this, and companies are trying to fight for the most market share, the most bettors they can get on their platform.
So for someone who might just be dipping their toe into sports gambling for the Super Bowl, are there some basic things they should know or perhaps avoid? Is there kind of just feeling out what they can do and maybe what they should or shouldn't do?
Yeah, my always advice to people is bet the smallest amount your sports book will let. You can bet a bunch of them, but make them, the smallest you have. If you have $100 that you're willing to bet on the Super Bowl, maybe you divide that up and you bet five $20 bets or 10 $10 bets. never really want to start pushing all in on one bet because things happen are crazy. So to make your enjoyment last longer, to make your bankroll last longer, bet the smallest amount you can and look at it as fun. You're not going to turn and suddenly into some professional bettor here on the Super Bowl. You need to take this as entertainment, as fun, and try to be as cautious as possible with your bankroll.
So you've talked about some of the numbers that we could see on Super Bowl Sunday. Looking at sports betting writ large, when you add in everything else, college basketball, pro basketball, everything else, you know, how big can it get? Do we have any sense of where the ceiling could be for sports betting at this point?
Well, we still have three big states that have not gotten there with legalization, Florida, Texas, and California. And you get those three in there, and it's going to be significantly jumping up the total amount bet. We're talking billions of dollars of bet, hundreds of billions of dollars of bet annually now with U.S. sports books. And when we say that, let's not forget that there is still an underground bookmaking market. Before legalization, people just weren't betting. They were just finding other options. And there are bookmakers that will allow you to bet on credit that operate out of sports bars, that operate out of country clubs. There are offshore sports books that you can play at. We don't get to see a lot of how much is bet with those, of course, but the ones with the legal shops, you're looking at, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. And once we get those other three states in, I believe that Texas and Florida will be the first two. California will be the last to come on board. But when those three giants come in, you're looking at hundreds of billions of dollars. I wouldn't shy away from saying $400 to $500 billion a year would be wagered on sports in the U.S. when we reach full maturity.
Thanks to ESPN's David Purdom for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We dig into the resolution of the long-running court battle over how Delaware appoints judges. That's next here on The Green on Delaware Public Media.